my home state. Got back in later than scheduled. Didn't get into about, get home last night about 11:30. And I suppose I got him back before the sun went down, but that did not happen, thanks to our beloved airlines. But nevertheless, we are here this morning.
Amen.
Able to feast on God's word together. And as we do, it is my prayer that as we feast, we won't just keep it to ourselves. But like you've heard me often say, we need to get it outside of these walls. To share God's love, to share his holiness that we spent some time talking about earlier this morning. To share God, to know God. Once again, I'm going to invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray. Father, you gave us this enjoyable time to spend with you. As we do, please open our eyes to see Jesus. Touch our ears to hear your voice and our hearts to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. In 1958, following his high school graduation from Fairfax High School in Los Angeles, Phil Spector, name sound familiar? Well, Phil Spector, at the age of 19, was inspired to write a song. And what inspired him was the epitaph written on his father's tomb. And that read, "To know him was to love him."
Amen.
To know him was to love him. However, the song that Phil composed, he changed one word. Instead of saying was to love him, he said to know him is to love him. To know him is to love him. This song hit the Billboard Hot 100 for 23 weeks, then took the top 10 position for 11 weeks and held the number one spot for 3 weeks, sold over 2.5 million copies, and was also given the Gold Disc Award by the Recording Industry Association of America. Song that became so popular back there in 1958 and in the early 60s, to know him was to love him.
Amen.
And it was sung by his group called the Teddy Bears. Anyone know that group? Anyone of you young as I am, you may know that song. To know him is to love him. Hence the title of my sermon, to know him, to know him. To know who? Him. And our Sabbath school lesson was to know God. And our scripture reading was the same text as our memory verse this morning, our Sabbath school lesson. As I shared earlier this morning, when Pastor asked me earlier if I would be able to be here today, and as I was putting my sermon together and then looked at the Sabbath school lesson, I said, oh, same subject. So once again, the sermon for today will be a continuation of our Sabbath school lesson. And by the way, you know me. If any of you have a comment or question or thought to, that you want to share while I'm speaking, don't hesitate to interrupt, okay? By God's grace, that's what we're here for, to share his love, to share his holiness, to bask in the warmth of his warm embrace. So our scripture reading was, as we read earlier, reading it from the King James Version, and this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. When you read it in the New Living Translation, it reads, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. And if you take a look at the New International Version, it says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Notice that Jesus associates knowing God and eternal life. To know God to be the only true God, and also his Son, Jesus Christ. Is there anything holding you and I captive this morning in such a way that is preventing you and I from truly knowing God? It can be anything. It can be temper. It can be diet. It can be, you know, whatever that leads us away from God. I was once riding with a friend of mine, and we were talking about God, as a matter of fact, and sharing, and how good, you know, like sister said, how good God is. And all of a sudden, someone cut in front of my friend. And that's a big no-no, right? And as I'm sitting there in the front passenger seat, my friend who is driving suddenly lost it. I mean, completely lost it, okay? I mean, to the fact where he even started yelling some not too nice words. I won't even share what they was. And rolled his window down, stuck his left arm out of the window with his fist in the air, and said, you blank, 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 blank. And I'm sitting there, I said, wow. Here we were talking about God and his love, and all of a sudden, boom. Hey, been there, done that. I'm ashamed to say it, but not too proud to share it. Okay. Back Paul in Romans chapter 7, he shares his experience of having the same issue. You recall that he says in verse 19 of Romans 7, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. In other words, Paul is simply saying, the good things that I know I should do, I don't do it. The evil that I know I shouldn't do, I find myself doing it. And there in verse 24 of that chapter, Romans 7, Paul cries out in desperation, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Well, I praise God that Paul doesn't leave us without the answer. Because in verse 25, he gives us the solution to that up and down yo-yo experience between us and God. In verse 25, he says, I thank God. I thank who? God, who we read in Philippians 4:19, who does what this morning? He supplies us all we need. If I need to control my temper and not fly off the handle and lose it like my friend, I thank God. Through Jesus Christ, in fact, we read verse 13 as well. I can do all things through who? Jesus, who strengthens me. Claim that promise, folks. As I mentioned earlier, we need to commit those, at least those two verses, to memory. Because as someone mentioned earlier this morning, we know Satan is going to bombard us with all kind of things that we shouldn't do. So therefore, Paul continues here. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. The mind, folks, you and I have that choice to make constantly. We know this. We've heard it many times. You've even heard me say it many times. I've said it to myself many times. Pat, keep your mind on Jesus. Amen. Who is, what we did we read Hebrews 12 verse 2 this morning? Keep our minds on Jesus, who is what? The author and finisher of, it says our faith, put my faith in there. Make it personal, folks. My faith. If I keep my eyes on Jesus, my faith will allow me to focus on, no matter what happens in my life, I will always know that God will give me victory. Amen. Victory is there for you and I to claim. So Paul, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So how may we get to know this God who we claim to love and to serve? As we look at the word know, four letters, four things for us to consider if we want to know God the way Jesus wants us to know him. So that instead of an up and down walk with God, our path will be in a constant upwards direction, drawing us closer and still closer with each step to him. So let's take a brief look at this word know, K-N-O-W, and see what is would help us to get to know this God. The K in the word know. In Psalms 5, verse 1 and 2 and 3, the psalmist says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear when? In the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer. In another psalm, 95, verse 6, it says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. So may I suggest that a good way to get to know God is by kneeling before him, having a conversation with him. And what better time of the day to start that conversation with God is in the morning, as the psalmist said, so that throughout your day you may be able to meditate on his words. In that way we are able to do what 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 says, and we read that earlier this morning, to pray without ceasing. To always be in that attitude of prayer, to be always in that frame of mind, so that no matter what happens to us, whether somebody cuts in front of us on the highway or says something, we use the word in Hawaiian, pilau. That means stink. Okay? Smelly. If someone says something not good about you, because you're always in a frame of mind of prayer and meditation on God's word, we will not be like my friend who will just lose it like that. We had a long conversation about that experience sometime later as we once again rode in the car. And my friend actually apologized to me. And I said, you don't need to apologize to me. You need to apologize to our Father, which art in heaven. Anyway, that's another long story. But nevertheless, we are to be in God's presence constantly. And it starts with you and I kneeling before Almighty God, asking Him for strength. And I'll be honest with you, every day I ask Him to help me, Father, to love You. To love You so much that I will never, ever turn my back upon You. As I look out in amongst you this morning, I see some husbands and wives sitting together. That's beautiful. It's always nice when a husband and wife can be together to worship.
Amen.
A question. How do you stay in love? So, Brother Cleveland, you won't look at another lady and say, woohoo, check that lady out. But the woman beside you will be that person.
Amen.
Yeah? So, folks, as we kneel before God, again, as we said earlier this morning, Satan is going about as a what? Roaring lion. And guess what? He will devour if you let him.
Amen.
Therefore, what's that verse in James chapter 4, I believe it is? Submit ourselves to God. And guess what? The devil will flee. Earlier I said, how many of you want to make God happy? How many of you want to make Him jump up and down in heaven? Well, how many of you want to make the devil run? Yeah? Let's make him run, folks. Make him run. Kneel before God daily and throughout the day whenever possible, asking Him for renewed strength so that you can get to know Him. Another way we can get to know God, as we come to the end, in the word know, in John 14, verse 30, Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Nothing in me. So may I suggest that we may accomplish this by going back to the key, kneeling before God, and claiming promises in His word, such as those found in Romans 6, verses 6 through 14. Reading it from the New Living Translation. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and He will never die again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Death no longer has any power over Him. Hallelujah. When He died once to break the power of sin. But now that He lives for the glory of God.
Amen.
So you, and when I read this, I put here, so Pat, also should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Verse 12 of this chapter, Romans 6. Do not let sin control the way you live. Let me read that once more. Do not let sin control the way you live. So going back to my friend yelling obscenities and shaking his fist outside the window of his car. We are not to let those things control us. It's so easy to do if we, again, keep focus on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Verse 13 says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to what is right for the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. In Psalm 62, verse 8, it says, trust in him. Guess what? How often?
Always.
Ye people, pour out your heart before him. Why? Because God is a refuge for us. Pour out your heart before him. Again, going back to the K in the word know, kneeling before God, not only asking him for strength, but pouring your heart out to him. Whatever's going on in your life, anything that you are facing, pour it out to him. Because he is your refuge.
Amen.
In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, is a verse that I cling to and often have to remind myself of who I am in God's eyes. Okay? It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers. Notice the language here. That ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That ye might be partakers of divine nature. As we read earlier this morning, be ye therefore holy, because I am holy. And again, let me mention this. God is not going to ask us to be something he knows we cannot be without him.
Amen.
Okay? If any one of us is struggling with this right now, let us connect ourselves with Jesus.
Amen.
Let us kneel before him, so that there will be nothing between. In fact, let me share this comment. Let me see if I can pull it up real fast here. Taken from Desire of Ages, page 123, talking about Jesus when he was being tempted in the wilderness. It says, there was in him nothing that responded to Satan's sophistry. He did not consent to sin. Not even by a thought did he yield to temptation. Listen carefully to the next sentence. It says, so it may be with us. So it may be with us, not even by a thought to yield to temptation. Christ's humanity was united with divinity. He was fitted for the conflict by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And he came to make us. And again, when I read this verse, or read comments like this, I put my name there. And I know I've said it before, whenever possible, put your name in the Word of God so that it will become something alive for you, a reality. Okay? When it says, I will go and prepare a place for you, instead of you, put your name there. Put your name there. So he came to make us partakers of the divine nature. So long as we are united to him by faith, sin has no more dominion over us. Hallelujah. Again, we read there in Romans 6, God's words to us. God says here, God reaches for the hand of faith in us to direct it, to lay fast on hold upon the divinity of Christ, that we may attain to perfection of character.
Amen.
And as I mentioned earlier this morning, there's a lot of discussion on the subject of perfection. Let me just read a little bit of the next paragraph, and again, Desire of Ages, page 123. How is this accomplished? The perfection of character. Christ has shown us. By what means did he overcome in the conflict with Satan? By the word of God. Only by the word could he resist temptation. It is written. And that's why all the more I encourage you to put promises of God's word in the follicles of your brain so that you can call upon them whenever you need encouragement, whenever you need instruction, whenever you need strength to overcome a temptation. It says here, every promise in God's word is ours. By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God are we to live. So let there be nothing, nothing between you and I and God. We come to the O in the word know. Another way that is helpful to us to get to know God. In John 17, verse 11 and 21 through 23, Jesus mentions a word six times. He says here, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be what? One. As we are. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So Jesus emphasizes the word being one with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as they are all one. And as we become one, we allow ourselves to move in unison with all of heaven. Amen? Amen. How many of you want to move with heaven this morning? Then I encourage you to kneel before him. Let nothing come between you and God, and allow yourself to become one. Amen. With him. Very quickly, we come to the W in the word know. In Romans 10, verse 17, a familiar verse, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. John 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So how can we get to know God in such a way that it will lead us to have eternal life? Another way is by spending time in his word. Jesus, who said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I believe what Jesus is simply saying to me anyway, is that, Pat, I don't want you to just read the word. I don't want you to just hear the word. I want you to live the word. Amen. To live the word. And that way, Pat, you will get to know me more. Brother even used the word intimate this morning. Yes. How many of you want to get to know God intimately? I know I do. And I pray each one of you as well to know God by allowing his word to become a part of my life. He knows that it will truly sanctify us so that God may be able to use each one of us for his purpose. And that purpose is for you and I to be what Matthew 5 verse 14 says, to be the light of the world. And I know each one of you wants to be that light. Some of us may even struggle to be that light. But again, that's why all the more we need to find ourselves on our knees before Almighty God and asking Him to take everything that's evil within me, toss it into the depths of the sea in Malachi chapter 7, verse 19. And don't go fishing. Let God leave it there. Okay? Don't go and try to bring it up. I've struggled with that for many years myself. Until I finally came to the place where I said, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I went back down there and brought it back up again. Help me to leave it there. Again, pour your heart out before this God, as we read earlier in Psalms. Pour your heart out, folks. No shame. Yes, God knows what's there, but when you find yourself voicing it, it becomes a reality. It will happen, folks. If it's something that you're struggling with right now, it will happen. Because again, we can do all things through who? Christ. And that includes surrendering so that He can do His mighty work in us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 comes to my mind right now. That we serve a God who will complete what? The good work that He has already begun in you and I. So has He begun a good work in you? Has He begun a good work in me? Let Him finish it. Let Him finish it. Again, God's promises are sure. But God can only fulfill His promises if I allow Him. Okay? If I allow Him to. We can only be this light if we allow ourselves to get to know God. Number one, by doing what? Kneeling before Him. Number two, allowing nothing to come between us. Number three, allowing ourselves to become one with Him. And fourthly and lastly, if we do these three things, we will find ourselves not just feeding on His Word, but also relying upon His grace to empower us to live God's Word. And that is my prayer for you and I this morning. That we don't just come here Sabbath after Sabbath, sit in the pews, hear what's being said, have potluck if you choose to stay, but also to live God's Word. So that when we go out of these walls to share it, it will be seen that you have been with Jesus. That's my prayer for each one of us this morning. So in closing, I invite you to stand with me as we sing hymn number 152. Tell me the story of Jesus. Tell me, Father, the story of Jesus. So that when I go out, I too will tell someone else the story. Thank you for the story of Jesus. May it be written on our hearts so that when we leave these four walls, this story will forever be with us to share with someone else so that they also may one day join us in singing this beautiful hymn that we sung. Tell me the story of Jesus. Amen. In such a way, Father, that I will get to know You, the only true God, Amen. And Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. Amen.